Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. This week, we're diving into the weird, wild, muddy, and messy world of obstacle course racing, which is a big part of the book that I wrote, Adrenaline Rush. We'll talk all about it this week because there's been some huge news from the world of obstacle course racing, or what they call OCR. And what does it have to do with our classroom? We'll talk about that in a second. But first things first, some housekeeping notes. Each week, the podcast is about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how bad traffic here is in DC. Driving back from work as an instructional coach is a great time for a brainstorm and a brain dump. So I welcome you all to join in the conversation here on the podcast every Monday. New episodes, or hit me up on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter, and I would love to talk further about this episode or anything else teaching related that makes its way into your classroom or to your newsfeed. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to subscribe or like, leave a comment. That's awesome because it helps other people find the podcast, which is great. And if you want more from me, not only am I MeehanEDU on Twitter, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com, and that's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up to change the game in teaching. In fact, my website is loaded with templates and multimedia resources. You can just download whatever you need. Activities, games, all sorts of fun stuff. And I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And lo and behold, this week is all about mud runs because there's been some huge news from the world of obstacle course racing. So if you've never done an obstacle course race, I'll catch up to speed. If you're a pro like some out there, congratulations. We all need new hobbies. We'll talk about what this looks like for our pros in the world. And how does this make its way into our classroom? Because while that's all fun stuff, I mean, they say, you know, love what you do when you've never worked a day in your life. My job is really cool because not only do I teach, but I go to theme parks, mud runs, escape rooms, and all that stuff is like market research, figuring out what we can do better. So using playful learning, using what I call Montessori on steroids in the classroom is a big part of what makes my teaching style mine. And I guess if you ever watched a TV show like Survivor, mud runs are a really good example of something that you might see like on American Ninja Warrior or Survivor, where there's these outdoor sort of obstacle courses where they'll jump over, you know, a tall wall or have to like scale up an inclined ramp, dive through, of course, mud puddles underneath barbed wire, sometimes jump through fire and these extreme challenges, diving off of cliffs, all that stuff. And Survivor for me is a template for like how to run a really good classroom, because what Jeff Probst does as the host of that show and as the executive producer is he sets up a scenario where the teams compete, red team versus blue team, or I guess they call them tribes on Survivor, and they have to kind of battle their way through an obstacle course, which usually is a multi-stage or multi-chamber obstacle course. So they might have to start by unlocking themselves out of a knot where they're all tied in together and they have to work as a team to untie themselves. Then when they've unlocked themselves, they've broken that chamber, they can move on to the next part of the obstacle course, which might be a balance beam. They have to race across the balance beam. As they race across the balance beam, they might collect pieces of a puzzle or piece of a ladder. Once they've crossed the balance beam part, they then use those pieces of a puzzle or the ladder, let's say, to build the next part of their structure, maybe a ladder to scale up a big wall. Every member team gets over the big wall, then they get up that wall and they can use a piece of the puzzle they've collected to then start working on that puzzle. So it's usually four or five stages with different legs of the race. And the whole team has to complete leg one before anyone's allowed to take part in leg two. So if you fall off the balance beam, hypothetically, you have to go back and do it again and do it again and do it again and do it again. And because there's this team-based thing, you're kind of helping your people out, but you're also competing against the other team who's competing the identical version of the obstacle course right there next to you. So that's pretty much every episode of a Survivor endurance challenge. You know, they might have things with twists in there, like they have to dig or they have to assemble a thing or, you know, move something really heavy and work together. Maybe sometimes they have to blindfold people or climb up big rope ladders. But the general vibe is you're going to have to work. And then when you're done with that chamber, congratulations, you've unlocked the chance to work on the next chamber. It's actually read out of Doug Liemov's book, Teach Like a Champion 2.0. The reward for correct answers is always harder questions. So an obstacle course race in Survivor is teams racing towards the ultimate goal of winning immunity or winning like food rewards, something like that. Using that same pedagogy in the classroom then, we can do the same thing where students are, quote, racing, not for time, but for accuracy, through activity set one. When they finish activity set one, maybe the easy problems, they have a chance to work on the medium problems. And the medium problems they're rewarded with, the chance to work on the harder ones. And so the learning never stops. And that's a big model I use in my classrooms with a lot of my activity designs, not just to make them speed-based, but also to make them challenge-based, that teammates are constantly collaborating, constantly working together, constantly being a part of a cohesive, while there's another team working to do the same thing down the way. Because we know about the four C's, right? Creativity, collaboration, communication, critical thinking. We want to see our students take part in those things that machines can't do. And so a game like Survivor or an obstacle course is a really good example of how to get people through those hurdles, so to speak. We just replace the physical hurdles in our classroom with intellectual ones, which is a good thing, because that's what class is designed to be, like a mental workout. People have always said, like, you know, math, when are we going to use math? Well, you use math every day. You have to get your brain more adroit to the heavy lifting of multiple problems that lend themselves to multiple solutions. They're not clear yeses or nos, but there is like a line of thinking. That's how coding works, right? You keep plugging and chugging information. If it's correct, you know, your system, your series, your circuit, your code works. If it doesn't, your code breaks and you have to sort of track, hey, where were my open tags? How did I do that wrong? What can I do better? And so what we're really talking about is teaching to mastery. Now, all that said, that's a very long introduction because I'm talking about obstacle course races. If you've never done one, they have these things and you can do them yourself. They have like weekend races. You might have heard of like a mud run or a fun run in the mud. They have like what they call Warrior Dash. There's one called the Spartan Race. There's one called the Tough Mudder. There used to be one called Battle Frog. There's Extreme Obstacle Race. They're all over the places. You basically Google obstacle course race or mud race and you'll see them. And it's weekend warriors who show up and God bless them. We are there with our sneaks and our Under Armour gear and we just run in the woods or in the trails or in the stadiums or in the farm fields. And it's kind of like Woodstock. You just go to the middle of a place that's in the middle of nowhere and you and your team or you individually, and you're racing through this big obstacle course in the woods. You, of course, sign a death waiver so that if you fall off of any of these obstacles, if you crack your skull, they're not liable for those things. And unfortunately, there have been some really serious instances where people do get hurt, which does, I think, up or broaden the appeal of it sometimes, because there's this illusion of danger. Even if you're not really in danger, as long as you're playing by the rules, there's the fear that, yeah, this is pretty serious, you should take it seriously. And then when you're done, they take a bunch of pictures over the course of the road race or the mud race or the obstacle course race. Unlike a traditional marathon, they give you all of those pictures immediately as a digital download, which then you can post all over your social media, which is super cool, because normally when you do races, you have to pay for those things. And they're, you know, pretty significant upcharge, you know, 50, 60, 100 bucks or more to get the pictures of yourself running with, a sweaty bib on. In the mud races, they give those included in the cost of your registration. And what that winds up doing is you post it all over your social media with their little logo on the bottom. Hey, I did a Tough Mudder this weekend. And sure enough, your friends see it on social and they say, that looks cool. I kind of want to do that. Whether you're jumping into a big old, dumpster full of ice or crawling underneath barbed wire that's like wall to wall and there's like mud and you can see like the sweat and the blood. Or maybe you're doing something that's crazy, like swinging off the ropes or, traversing some really large overhead structure that looks like, monkey bars from hell. It's big, it's exciting, it's easy to market, because these things, the picture tells 1,000 words, and you're like, wait a minute, that's Sue from accounting on your social media. What was she doing this week? I kind of want to know that. I want to do that, because Sue from accounting just looks like your, everyday, normal, milquetoast, plain Jane type of person. And suddenly you see this weekend warrior come out. Well, anyways, mud runs are fun. Obstacle course races are fun. They have different lengths and distances. The Spartan Race, which is the industry leader, has competitive races. And they have, for each of their different lengths, they have like an easy, a medium, and a hard. The easy one, I think they call a sprint. It's like 3 miles. And of course, the obstacles plus the 3 miles of running. They have the super, which I think runs maybe like 8 to 10 miles. And the 8 to 10 miles, again, has obstacles through the whole way. And then they have what they call the beast, which is, I think, about a half marathon's distance, 13 miles, 10 to 13 miles. And of course, obstacles with that as well. And of course, you're running up a mountainside or you're taking part in, I did one or two on like at a ski lodge where you're not indoors in the ski lodge, you're running up Black Diamond Hills, and it's like, wow, that's a lot. But they also have the other versions of different races. They have fun runs, trail runs. And for a long time, the biggest rival for the Spartan Race was a company called Tough Mudder. And you probably heard that phrase, Tough Mudder. Oh, you're one Tough Mudder. But the Tough Mudder races pride themselves in what they call extreme obstacles, which are not so much designed to be a race. Tough Mudder builds itself as a challenge. It's a team-based challenge, where the Spartan races you can kind of do individually and kind of race your way through it, see if you can get the best time, and, you know, it's sort of like CrossFit on steroids, right? CrossFit on the weekends. The Tough Mudder races are designed to be team-based collaboration. So you and like four or five friends get together, and much like an escape room, you really are working together as a team to get yourself over that big wall or over that obstacle, because it's not designed to be a pure race in the truest sense of the word. But interestingly, last week on Friday, it was announced that they had finalized a deal where Tough Mudder Corporation has gone into bankruptcy, and they were purchased by Spartan, which is equivalent to like Sirius and XM radios kind of merging and becoming one thing, which is wild because for the longest time, it was very cutthroat between those two organizations. Tough Mudder and Spartan had two very different approaches. Spartan is very serious. If you miss an obstacle, if you fall behind on a challenge, they make you do burpees. Like there's you'd have to drop and give me 20 kind of thing. So the Spartan culture has been very serious about like die hard, go, 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 go. Where Tough Mudder was more like Woodstock or Coachella, kind of hang out in the woods with some friends doing a fun run race. Interestingly, when Spartan now has acquired Tough Mudder for a pretty affordable rate, it was actually $700,000 is all they paid for the corporation, plus $10 million in liabilities. So that there is some money in there. But what's interesting about this is that they've decided that Spartan will continue to honor not only all of the existing tickets to Tough Mudder's while they rebrand or kind of refocus, but it will be a independently operating, fully owned subsidiary of the same company. So you can sign up for either the Spartan races, the super competitive stuff, or you can do these team-based challenges with the Tough Mudders. And even though it's run under the Spartan brand, you would never know it because the whole thing is going to be operating as a standalone. And they said for the market research, and this is really interesting, there's only a 4% overlap between people who do Spartan races and people who do Tough Mudders. They say that 96% of the people who do the Spartan races are people who want to do it again and again and again and again, where 3/4 of the people who do the Tough Mudder are brand new to obstacle course racing altogether. And so what Spartan is doing cleverly is they're acquiring Tough Mudder sort of as a feeder program to the thing that they're ultimately trying to do and, you know, upsell you. Because over the course of a year, if you can run one short race, maybe you can run one medium race, maybe you can do one long race. And the idea is that they're using the one that's fun and easy and team-based, Tough Mudder, to kind of welcome people in to a culture of fitness and a lifelong commitment to like that, this like CrossFit kind of mindset, that weekend warrior mentality. And it does sort of echo what Doug Lemoff talks about in his book, Teach Like a Champion, where the reward for correct answers is harder questions. Hey, you did the Tough Mudder? That's awesome. That's amazing. That took a lot of work. That was like hours and hours of your life, and you and your team were able to crush it. So why not try and do it by yourself? Maybe your team was the ones who were carrying you. Could you think you could do it without your team? I don't know, man. And I think that's really cool because that gets you into the world of obstacle course racing by yourself. And I think about that in my classroom. We do a lot of team-based challenges, a lot of like collaborative things, a lot of critical thinking where we get together with our friends. But ultimately, the race is long, and in the end, it's only against yourself. So how are we using our classrooms to really tee up that next thing where it says, hey, you're doing a great job in English, art, math, science, religion, world language, whatever your thing is. You're doing a great job so far with the team. I think you have potential. I think you could be a single standout star and be flagged for like an individual speed run. I think you could crush this. And I'm wondering how I can do a better job of that in my classroom. Because the two things speak the same language, like I said, whether you're new to it or you're a returner, it does appeal to that idea of mental and physical toughness and grit, working and trying to grow and be your best self. But at the same time, there is a value in saying, you know what? You just started. And the reward for that correct answer, even though it was incredibly extreme, that picture of you jumping in that ice bucket, that was amazing. I think you can do even more. I think you can do even better. And that, for me as an educator, is the reason why I come to the classroom. So finding ways to make that same thing happen in our classroom. This week is more, I guess, big picture, you know, big ideas and maybe some aspirational stuff than some concrete strategies. But it's all brand new information. We're building the plane as we fly it with this information, with the Spartan race and the Tough Mudder merger. So I'm really interested in seeing how it plays out on the field and on the obstacle course, and then taking that stuff and putting it into my play in my classroom. I know for this year I have my honor. They're going to honor the race that I was going to run with Tough Mudder, which has now been rescheduled to the fall, and they've given me two registrations to different Spartan races this year, which again, to whet my appetite, made me want to do it. So I'm fired up. I'm pumped. I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive all these races, but I'm really excited to try. That's it for this week. Like I said, maybe more questions than answers, but I hope this makes sense with, like I said, brand new information and really trying to model our classroom best practices from the world around us that gets us inspired to try to do the impossible stuff. That's it this week. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll have more next time.